welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Mike.
Good. After the holidays, I guess that all of our patients are focusing on their New Year's resolutions. The top of the list must be weight loss. All of that.
It's right after always subscribe to our podcast, right, and read the poems. Is that? It's right after that.
Absolutely right. Okay. Number one, I'm going to listen more to the poems. Number two, I'm going to lose some weight. The morbidity and mortality associated with being overweight has been known probably since Adam first took a bite of an apple. Estimates suggest that about one-third of adults in the United States at any given time are trying to lose weight. Still, there are complaints that less than half of obese adults are being advised by us in primary care to lose weight. So it's suggested that we can play a much more important role in educating people on the need to lose weight and optimal strategies. Treatment is all based on initial risk, and I think as every listener knows, not every person is as ready to lose weight as every other person. In the literature, we talk about the readiness to change. There are these five or six stages, and an essential feature for all of us is to understand where any given patient is, so that those who are in the pre-contemplative stage of thinking about weight loss, probably not worth our time and attention. Those who are ready to lose weight can benefit from lots of advice that we can give them. This week, we're going to look at two poems in this one podcast, both of them focused on weight. The first is looking at whether telephone support or in-person support leads to more weight loss. The second asks a very broad question, which is what is the most effective way that we in primary care can help our patients to lose weight? The first article comes from the New England Journal of Medicine. Mark, what did these authors find?
Yeah, these are really good studies, and in the setting where it really matters, the primary care setting. So I was really glad to see these, and there are some good things to learn. I'm going to try to go through them fairly quickly because there's a lot to talk about, and also encourage listeners to, you know, if they're getting the poems, read the poems themselves or even the original article if they're brave. So this first study randomized, took 400 primary care patients. They're all adults. They had a mean BMI of about 37, so that's pretty high. And they randomized them to three groups. So one group got usual care, just go lose some weight, have fun. The second group got a website and emails and educational modules on the web. And they also got telephone calls from weight loss coaches. And fairly intensive intervention, lots of phone calls, you know, several calls a day, not calls a day, but several calls a week and then weekly calls. And then the other group got the websites and things like that, but they got in-person support by this weight loss coach where they went in three times a week initially, and they had 90-minute group sessions, and they were fairly intensive intervention. And then they followed these folks for a couple of years, and the usual care group did what usual care groups usually do in weight loss studies, which is they didn't lose any weight. They lost about 2 pounds, 0.8 kilos. The web-based remote support group lost 4.6 kilos, or roughly, I guess, about 10 pounds. And the other in-person group lost a bit more, 5.1 kilos, so an extra pound, basically, half a kilo more. The average weight was 228 at the beginning of the study, 19% in the control group, but 40% in each of the intervention groups lost at least 11.5 pounds, or 5% of their weight. So about 40% in the intervention group, and it didn't matter whether it was remote or in-person, lost at least 12 pounds. So that's pretty good. The other study was generally kind of similar. They had three groups. It was primary care again. Average BMI was even more, 38 kilos per square meter, so big folks. And again, the usual care group just saw their primary care doc every few months. Then the other group had brief counseling by nurses who were trained to be lifestyle coaches, and they got a monthly 15-minute session. And the enhanced counseling group got this counseling once a month, and then they also got a choice of either orlistat or sibutramine or a meal replacement program, sort of a, you know, one of those, what are the ones that have all the pro football players? You know, they're basically calorie control kind of things. And not a lot of difference between those. Only 3 or 4 pounds of weight loss in the counseling group, 6 pounds in the enhanced counseling group. And I think what we learned there is that, yeah, adding those meal replacements or the medications might help a tiny bit, but that if you're going to do some kind of a coaching intervention, it has to be fairly intensive. It can't just be 10 minutes once a month. That probably isn't going to be enough over the long term.
Two articles, both published in the same issue of the New England Journal of Medicine, one talking about telephone coaching, the other talking about more traditional coaching and diet. Patient comes in, as you said, has a BMI in the 35 to 40 range. What do we really do, and how do you pay for these coaches?
Yeah, I think in a kind of a vertically integrated healthcare system, and if there are incentives to keep people healthy, you know, something like a Kaiser Permanente or a Group Health, then, you know, you can see it making sense, and, you know, they can probably organize that kind of a system fairly readily for somebody in private practice. They're in a solo or a small group, and it would be a real challenge. You know, you really have to be pretty motivated to set that up, and I think, again, you're committing, you know, medical assistant or nurse resources to become these coaches. There has to be some way to get paid for that, and you know, that's going to be a challenge. And I think, you know, the bigger thing is, you know, we also have to think about the environment, the society, the culture we live in. And, you know, it's not as if, you know, if you go to Norway and Sweden and Netherlands, you know, people aren't nearly as obese. They're not, and particularly the really morbidly obese people, you don't see those folks to the extent that we do here. Yet I don't think that they necessarily have better willpower in Norway or Sweden. And, you know, I think it has more to do with the society and the environment around us. And, you know, we've designed a society around the automobile and not around walking and biking and, you know, more sustainable approaches. So I think, you know, these are bigger societal issues that we also have to grapple with. And, you know, we can try to do our part as primary care docs, but it's tough out there for a lot of people to lose weight just based on where they live and how they have to organize their lives.
Right. I mean, I don't know if listeners are having the same experience that I am, but I'm hearing and seeing many more patients coming in who are just willing to throw in the towel and are asking to be referred to bariatric surgery. And, you know, it also has got its risks and its problems. It's not a great solution to someone who has a BMI of, you know, 35 or 40 or 45 even. And it's a contextual problem, and it's going to be hard because there's a lot of money being made to keep things the way they are.
Yeah, so, you know, we can, again, try to do our part. And I think also in our communities, advocate for, you know, safe, enjoyable places to walk, for communities and neighborhoods that are walkable and bikeable, and, you know, really encourage that because, you know, I live in a neighborhood where I walk to the store, where I now walk to work. You live in Davis, big biking town. And, you know, those communities have invested in the infrastructure and the sidewalks and things like that that say, hey, we're going to value this and we want to encourage people to lead that healthier lifestyle. And so as family physicians and internists, we need to get out there and advocate for that.
Do these coaches, can they work in groups?
If you look at what the Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and Send Nutrisystem, what these do, I mean, they're not necessarily cheap, but they do similar things to what these trials recommended in terms of portion control for the Nutrisystem diet, which was a component of one of the New England Journal studies. You know, those are the kind of components. So if we can't do that within our practice, then we could, you know, refer folks for those. And I think while those weren't the specific program studied, they were similar enough that, you know, there's probably a significant number of patients are going to benefit from that.
Excellent. We'll talk with you again next week, Mark.
All right. Talk to you then.
Thanks.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem. Thank you.